שלום, אנחנו לומדים את מאמרו של בעל.
Hello, we're studying the article "This is for Judah" by Baal HaSulam. You can find it in Kabbalah for the Student on page 473. You're invited to ask questions live. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. This is for Judah, page 473. Baal HaSulam.
Okay, so maybe we should remind us that the whole of Torah is an instruction of how to emerge from our egoistic nature to the aim to bestow, to the spiritual nature of bestowal and love and connection, and accordingly to feel the spiritual world, upper phenomena, superior phenomena. And this is how we have to advance toward it. And also this whole matter of the exodus from Egypt, which is the entry into the upper world, into the sensation of a reality of bestowal. So this is how we have to also relate to the Passover narrative, the Haggadah, which reminds us about it. And here we have part of Baal HaSulam's interpretation. Maybe he wanted to do more, I don't know. I didn't hear about it. But this is what we have from his interpretation to the Passover Haggadah. This is for Judah. Go ahead.
Page 29 in the Pesach booklet. That bread which our fathers ate in the land of Egypt. The mitzvah of eating matzah was given to the children of Israel even before they departed Egypt. Relating to the future exodus, which was to be in haste, it follows that the mitzvah of eating a matzah was given to them while they were still enslaved. And the aim of the mitzvah was for the time of redemption. Since then, they departed in haste. This is why we like to remember the eating of matzahs in Egypt, even today, since we too are as when we were enslaved abroad. Also, with this mitzvah, we aim to extend the redemption that will happen soon in our days. Amen. Just as our fathers ate in Egypt.
You can ask what you don't understand. Go ahead. So, today, we are doing our holiday, our festival, with all of its customs, only in order to remind us of spiritual discernments that we have to experience as a kind of, as fathers do, it's a sign for the sons. In other words, we too will experience it in spirituality, and this is why we read about it and try to realize it in corporeality as well. But generally speaking, it is only so that this merit, this privilege of transiting from the corporeal world to the spiritual world will come to us as well soon in our days. Amen.
So, yes, Niv. What is he actually saying, that they receive in order to bestow already in Egypt? What is eating matzahs in Egypt?
Even if we are still governed by Egypt, by Pharaoh, but they want to, by this, kind of carry out their exit in haste. That's why they're doing this mitzvah, this commandment of eating the matzah, the unleavened bread. Did they actually eat it? It didn't seem like it was possible that you could come to a state of eating matzah, unleavened bread. It's bread of poverty, it's light of chasadim. We have a transition between being able to eat like animal food, which is rich and you can do with it whatever you want, and then you have the cessation where you can't eat it, it doesn't satisfy you, and you reject it. And then you're detached from the animal food, and you shift to the matzah. Matzah and merivah, which is poverty and strife. You're in trouble and all that. And then you get to this bread of poverty, matzah, which is kind of bina. There's nothing in there. Only flour and a little bit of water. It's a sign. And as you come out of Egypt, you once again eat bread. Not poverty anymore, because you're beginning the corrections. So, this is how it happens in our actions, and we will learn about this transition, why it happens this way. But the mitzvah, the commandment of eating the matzah, was given to them back in Egypt.
So it was given to them, but they couldn't keep it. They tried to keep it, but couldn't. This is what it's about.
When we eat the matzah today, it should remind us of the eating the matzah in Egypt, because we were enslaved abroad, and our intention with this mitzvah is to extend, to draw the future redemption sooner days, amen, as our fathers ate in Egypt. So to them, it was also for the purpose of the future redemption.
So what are we supposed to learn from it about the principle of our work?
Of course we do it this way, no doubt. All of our mitzvot, all of our commandments, everything we do is in order to thereby draw reforming light. This is called toward the future redemption. Go on.
This is why, this year here, next year free. It is written above that with the aim of this mitzvah we can evoke the guaranteed redemption destined for us, as in the mitzvah of eating the matzah of our fathers in Egypt.
We have to understand that all the mitzvot, the commandments, all the corrections we do are for the future redemption, in order to bring us closer to correction. There's nothing new here. So if you see in some activity that it's not for the purpose of correction, that's how it seems to you, so you have to check it out. But if you scrutinize it and you see that this act is not for the purpose of correction, then the question is, why do it? Why? You could say, well, I want to discover through this action the bad about it, and then I will advance toward the good. That's the path of suffering. It's not the way to go. In every action, in speech or thought or action, you have to think about how you advance in the shortest possible optimal way toward the corrected state. If you can skip over all the corruptions, go ahead, make this leap.
We were slaves. It is written, Masechet Psachim begins with denunciation and ends with praise. Concerning the denunciation, Rav and Shmuel were in dispute. Rav said, to begin with, in the beginning our fathers were idol worshippers. And Shmuel said, to begin with, we were slaves. The practice follows Shmuel. We need to understand this dispute. The reason for beginning with denunciation and ending in praise is, as it is written, as far as light excels darkness. Hence, we must remember the issue of denunciation, that through it we acquire through knowledge of the mercies of the Creator with us. It is known that our whole beginning is only in denunciation, since absence precedes presence. This is why a wild ass's cult is born a man. And in the end, he acquires the shape of man. This applies to every element in creation. And this was so in the rooting of the Israeli nation. The reason for it is that the Creator elicited creation, existence from absence. Hence, there is not a single creation that was not previously an absence. However, this absence has a distinct form in each element in creation. Because when we divide reality into four types, still, vegetative, animate, and speaking, we find that the beginning of the still is necessarily complete absence. However, the beginning of the vegetative is not complete absence, but merely its former degree, which compared to itself is considered absence. And in the matter of sowing and decay, which are necessary for any seed, it is received from the shape of the still. Also, it is the same with the absence of the animate and the speaking. The vegetative form is considered absence with respect to the animate, and the animate form is considered absence with respect to the speaking. Hence, the text teaches us absence that precedes man's existence is the form of the beast. This is why it is written, a wild ass's colt is born a man, as it is necessary for every person to begin in the state of a beast.
This is where we begin. They are all as beasts, for sure. There's no problem here. Everyone is like beasts. But then what?
And the writing says, man and beast thou preserves, O Lord. And as a beast is given all that it needs for its sustenance and the fulfillment of its purpose, he also provides man with all that is necessary for his substance and the fulfillment of his purpose. Therefore, we should understand, where is the advantage of man's form over the beast from the perspective of their own preparation? Indeed, it is discerned in their wishes, since man's wishes are certainly different from those of a beast. And to that extent, God's salvation of man differs from God's salvation of a beast. Thus, after all the inquiries and scrutinies, we find that the only need in man's wishes, which does not exist in the whole of the animate species, is the awakening toward godly dvikut, adhesion. Only the human species is ready for it, and none other.
So, those who have a need for dvikut, for adhesion with the Creator, but really for dvikut, he is called man, meaning he's got the beginning of man. Those who have no desire for it are still regarded as absence and beast. Clear? Yes, Zvika. You got a question about this?
I have many questions. He says, and he starts with denunciation and ends with praise, and the light excels the darkness, and so on. We don't see that the light excels the darkness. We still feel that the darkness excels the light.
Never mind.
So what is this work, then?
The gap between them.
That's it?
I have nothing to say. It's a very broad topic all throughout the way. Light and darkness, darkness and light. This is what we have to feel. Now, what are darkness and light? It depends what you mean by light and by darkness. Right? You got many questions. Ask more.
No, I mean, why does it start with denunciation and ends with...
with praise.
Yeah.
It's all up to you. You think that the world is fixed. It's not. Its form is the way you give it. Its value is the way you give it. So what you condemn, what you praise, is different every time. So beginning with condemnation and ending with praise, is it you changing or the world? You. So that's it.
When? I mean,
when? Ask the upper force.
Upper force or my ten?
The ten.
Group,
the group.
And why does redemption begin? Oh, what's the haste? I mean, why?
Haste is because the transition from state to state is very, very sudden, quick. And it begins and ends immediately. You don't feel it so much, perhaps, because you have a kind of delay mechanism. But in truth, it happens immediately. The upper light works or it doesn't work. That's it.
What do you mean immediately? You said 30 years.
No, but if it works, its act is immediate. Yeah, it's a blow.
So you come out of Egypt in a blow.
Right. Now you feel a blow of light, a pulse of light. Let's go.
According, we can understand the matter of the absence that precedes the existence of man as the negation of the desire for God's proximity, since one is in the... It follows that the whole issue of presence in the human species is in that preparation imprinted in him to crave his work, and in that he is superior to the beast.
But it seems to us like instinctively, as if in people it's not mandatory.
And many have already said that even the intelligence and craftsmanship and in political conduct is present with great wisdom in many elements in the animal world. Accordingly, we can also understand the matter of the absence that precedes the existence of man as the negation of the desire for God's proximity, since one is in the animate degree. Now we understand the words of the phrase that said begins with denunciation and ends with praise. This means that we must remember the research, the absence that precedes our existence in a positive manner, as this is the denunciation that precedes the praise, and from it we will understand the praise more profoundly, as it is written, begins with denunciation and ends with praise. This is also the meaning of our four exiles, exile by exile, which precede the four redemptions, redemption by redemption, up to the fourth redemption, which is the complete redemption that we hope for soon in our days. Amen.
So we also have to feel the exile in the most qualitative manner, that we have actual detachment from the Creator, not detachment from all kinds of beastly, animate discernments.
Exile refers to absence that precedes the presence, which is redemption. And since the absence is what prepares for the Havaya ascribed to it, like the sowing that prepares the reaping, all the letters of redemption are present in exile, except for the Aleph, since this letter indicates the Aluf, champion of the world. This teaches us that the form of the absence is but the negation of the presence. And we know that the form of the presence, redemption, from the verse, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them." Hence, the form of the previous absence, meaning the form of exile, is only the absence of the knowledge of the Lord.
But in a complete way, because later they will all know me.
This is the absence of the Aleph, which is missing in the Gola, exile, and present in the Geula, redemption, the Dvikut, with the champion of the world. This is precisely the redemption of our souls, no more and no less. As we have said, that all the letters of Geula are present in Gula, but the Aleph, which is the champion of the world. To understand this weighty issue, that the absence in itself is what prepares the presence ascribed to it, we should learn from the conducts of this corporeal world. We see that in the concept of freedom, which is a sublime concept, only a chosen few perceive it, and even they acquire appropriate preparations. But the majority of the people are utterly incapable of perceiving it. Conversely, with regards to the concept of enslavement, the small and the great are equal. Even the least among the people will not tolerate it. We saw that in Poland, they lose their kingdom only because the majority of them did not properly understand the merit of freedom and did not preserve it. Hence, they fell under the burden of subjugation under the Russian government for 100 years. During that time, they all suffered under the burden of subjugation and desperately sought freedom from least to great. And although they did not yet assume the taste of freedom as it truly is, each of them imagined it as they wanted. But in the absence of freedom, which is subjugation, it was thoroughly engraved in their hearts to cherish freedom. For this reason, when they were liberated from the burden of subjugation, many of them were bewildered, not knowing what they have gained by this freedom. Some of them even regretted it and said that their government was burdening them with even more taxes than the foreign government and wishes for their return. This was so because the force of absence did not sufficiently affect them.
If there is no sensation of exile, there cannot be a sensation of redemption. As he gives us the example, you take a nation from a bad state to a good state. If they didn't feel the bad in the previous state, they also cannot feel the good state properly. Clear, right? Because there's no preparation of the kli. Go on.
Now we can understand the dispute between Rav and Shmuel. Rav interprets the phrase of beginning with denunciation so that through it the salvation will be thoroughly appreciated. Hence he says to begin from the time of Terach. He says to begin from the time of Terach, and he does not say what Shmuel does, since in Egypt his love and work was already planted in a few within the nation. Also, the added difficulty of enslavement in Egypt is not a deficiency in itself in the life of the nation called Adam. And Shmuel interprets the phrase saying that because the absence prepares the presence, it is considered a part of his salvation and should be met with gratitude as well. Hence, we should not begin with, in the beginning our fathers were idol worshippers, since that time is not even regarded as absence that precedes the presence. This is because they are completely devoid of the human type of presence, since they were completely removed from his love, like the nature with which is devoid of love. Hence we begin with the enslavement in Egypt, when the sparks of his love were burning in their hearts to an extent, but due to the impatience and hard work, it was being quenched every day. This is considered absence that precedes the presence, and this is why he says, to begin with, we were slaves. And also it is because the concept of the freedom of the nation is the knowledge of the God is a very high concept, which is only a chosen few understand, which only a chosen few understand, and even then it requires appropriate preparation, but the majority of the people have not attained that.
Okay, so we have to eat up, chew up Egypt all the way. But it depends on us. If we work well, we can do this quickly and come to a state where the future redemption comes in haste. Who was it there? Yes?
Rav, he says here that the form of Avaya, which is the redemption, is in the form of where no one shall teach anyone else, because all shall know me from small to great, and so on. And then he says that he discerns that not everyone, because they were distanced from his love, and therefore they start with the Egyptian enslavement, where the sparks of love burned in them.
The redemption itself comes gradually and to a certain extent to each and every one, and accordingly the absence should be different from one person to the next. Of course, it's according to the inner kelim of a person. But when there is revelation, everyone from small to great will know, and it'll be clear to everyone, here is our God. And there will not be a question of anyone from anyone to anyone. Because if the kli is connected, it's a different attainment. It's not personal. It's general. So in the future, complete redemption, there will be no questions to anyone. But until then, even in great Kabbalists who are in revelation, there will always be a lack, a deficiency, and there will always be differences and even misunderstandings between Kabbalists, because there are still kelim that are not, that are in between and are not corrected yet. And even the lack is not revealed in them, much less the filling and the discernments. Okay? Yes.
What does it mean to really feel bad? But to really feel bad, so that we'll feel the bad, so we'll be able to cross.
Really feeling bad means you hate it more than death. You're willing to destroy, kill, obliterate it, even if you are obliterated too.
And how do you come to that, to the state?
Through the reforming light.
But I understand that we really have to enlarge the Creator so much so that we'll feel that state as bad?
Yeah.
And how do you increase the Creator so much?
Group and prayer. When I ask you, what should I do if I'm diabetic? You give me a medicine, you say you have to take it. So now I'm telling you, this is the medicine, take it. That's it. Well, you got Tzvika over there, he can help you. There's no choice. It's called the medicine. Okay, Niv. What world kli? Oh, right.
Short update regarding our activity here. The next thing we're going to do is burn leaven. It's a ancient Jewish tradition, of course having spiritual roots, and this is going to be at 11:15, and then we're gathering here at 7, and at 7 7:15, we're starting the Leila Seder meal, Souda, at 7:15.
And previously, what was it? What time was it?
In previous years? There's a slight change. We wanted to start it at 7:30. We're starting at 7:15.
Aha, so 15 minutes. No, okay, so I got confused.
In addition, it's good to point out that friends from the Israeli Kli, from the Israeli groups, friends that registered and got permission to participate, just make sure that you got permission, are invited to come. And besides that, it's very important to point out that tomorrow the morning lesson will be from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Okay.
Just to add that everyone got the schedule by mail. It's on Sviva Tova. It's everywhere for the past 2 weeks, so you can always get updated online.
So now we're going until 6 p.m.?
Until 7 p.m.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. we're gathering.
What are you going to do until 7 p.m.? Fight at home? I hear we don't have a lesson in the afternoon.
Usually it's customary to allow people to finish their preparation for Passover at home.
I see that half of the people are now in preparation too.
No, about 100 people were preparing for Pesach.
Besides this, so now the question is this: what else do you need to do with if after 10 or 10:30 in the morning you cannot touch chametz anymore, you cannot touch any leaven anymore? What else do you need to do? I think that we can. Those who want. Understand, it's not. You don't have to kill yourself over it. Neve, you listening? Check all the systems, make sure everything's okay, and then if you can't fall asleep, then come. So, when are we going to have a lesson?
We can do it at 11:30 because at 11:20 we finished the Biur Chametz.
No, they will be with kids and women and wives.
1:30 to 3. 1:30 till 3. An hour and a half.
All right, an hour and a half. At least an hour and a half. Fine. We can even do more. We'll see. 1:30 is good for you? Or you do one later? Or are you used to napping at that time? Okay, very well. So, all right, it's from 1:30 until your soul has come out.
And our daily task, please. Moscow!
Rav, конечно,
Rav. Of course, it's very unexpected, but actually today is a very unusual day, and we understand that all of our daily tasks come from our egoistic kelim, so we would like to ask you to give us the daily task until the afternoon lesson. Be so kind as to give us a daily task.
Mishima. Task. We. Let's hope in the evening we are all sitting together. And we will have a meal with all kinds of signs. And all of them are connected and directed to how we come out of Egypt, how we emerge from our egos, from our will to receive, from the aim to receive, from the control of the oppositeness of the Creator on us. We will force the Creator to turn around, right? As it is written, Where, in what prayer? And he will turn his master on his face and call. So we will force him to change, and instead of his back, which is called Pharaoh, he will turn to us with his face, which is called God. So let's think about it. How do we nonetheless force ourselves to expect it, wait for it, and force the Creator to do it? And
thank you, and all the best. And all as one, the World Kabbalah Convention in North America from the 3rd to the 6th of May. For further information, 1.kabbalah.info. And now, let's take 2 minutes and silently write a summary of the lesson. Again, let's take 2 minutes and silently write down a summary of the lesson. Please, let's begin.
כל חבר מוזמן לשתף את סיכום השיעור שלו בסביבה טובה וברשתות החברתיות.
Every friend is invited to share his summary on סביבה טובה, and now we'll sing a song together.
לקראת הטוב הרמוניה גלים מתמזגים על קו החוף
הרמוניה על
אנחנו כמו פליטים על הפסנתר שחורים ולבנים לב אל לב מתחבר עוד יפה כולנו יחד לצמוח ולגדול בלי פחד המוניה זה התת לבני שיוצרים את מגינת החיים לבבות מתחברים בישראל הרמוניה זה כולנו יחד לצמוח ולגדול בלי פחד הרמוניה זה אתה, אתה ואני שיוצרים את מנגינת החיים הרמוניה זה כולנו יחד לצמוח ולגדול בלי פחד Baja